Mark Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, the new Pope is fantastic and fabulous. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Are you shopping for sunglasses on Craigslist?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. I think it's fantastic, by the way, and fabulous that you were able to spot the brand of shoes the Pope wears just by looking at them. That really is the glory and genius that you bring to the Rick Emerson radio program. We'll speak to Ed McCarthy in just a moment. I should get the rest of these... I should get the rest of this gossip. Let me just... Did you see about the other sex tape that's floating around out there, allegedly?
Oh, yeah. Do you want me to ruin it? No, I'll let you do it.
See, why do I even ask you these things? Because then we have to do method acting where I say, so, Sarah...
Well, then you shouldn't ask me. You should just launch right into it.
You know what it is? Because we just don't have... And I blame myself. I blame me for this. That we're just not skilled enough in the ways of morning-type radio. No, it's not... Well, that also.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. It's that we just don't have the morning show acting ability to be like, so, Sarah, that's your... You're never going to guess who else has a sex tape floating around out there. And you say, oh, I who? You know,
who, Rick?
And I say, well, the word is that former pop princess Jessica Simpson. And then you go, oh, you know, and she... Her whole image is based on, you know, being so virginal. Boy, that, if true, is really going to hurt her career. And I say,
well... Oh, that's not going to hurt her career.
See, that's what I'm saying.
That girl has a fabulous body. That's going to help her career.
I don't... She's got that lantern jaw, though, man. Her head looks like it was carved. Her head looks like... It's like... You know what it is? She's like... I don't know. She's like Pam Anderson below the neck and then like Boris Karloff above. Especially when she stands side by side with that sister of hers. I don't think Jessica Simpson's as good looking as everybody else thinks she is.
No, she's gone downhill. Everyone thinks so.
Yeah, and she's gotten all, she seems a lot of, it's a lot of luggage.
A lot of crazy.
Lot of sagging and whatnot going on there. Well, we should welcome now to the Rick Emerson program himself, CNN radio correspondent par excellence, Ed McCarthy. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm dandy. I'm rolling right along. You know why? Because my name is not Kevin Federline. So every day that I am not him is a day that my life is okay.
Well, I would imagine so, huh?
That's what I'm saying. Hey, let me ask you this. First of all, did you know that the Pope wears Prada shoes? And we're not making that up. The Pope wears Prada.
I didn't see his shoes today.
He wears...
Did they give a quick... shot of the feet or what?
I swear to God, I don't know where Sarah saw them. Where did
you... Well, if you're talking about the Pope, I guess you would.
Yeah, I didn't see them. They're not from today, but I'm assuming he still owns them. They're pretty expensive. But they're from a couple months ago.
And I swear on all of my, whatever, I swear on my Catholic catechism classes when I was growing up, he wears Prada shoes, and I swear to God, for all the world, they look like red ruby slippers. They are pointy, shiny, ruby-like slippers. You really expect him to be flanked by the Lollipop Guild and dancing down the road with a guy made out of straw. I mean, and then, I don't mean to say, I mean, I'm not trying to imply anything about the Pope, but have you ever heard Pope Benedict speak?
Yes.
He did, okay, the voice that comes out of that guy's head is not, he doesn't sound like he looks. He looks, and he's a big, sort of burly, kind of evil-looking German guy. He looks very Teutonic and stern. And yet when he speaks, you expect him to be giving you tips on how you can get rid of unsightly blemishes on your skin and get rid of stubborn bathroom mold. Let me just play a little bit of this.
To approach our interreligious and intercultural dialogue with optimism and hope, it cannot be reduced to an optional extra.
It's like he's going to be telling you how to make a candy-filled cuckoo clock for Christmas.
Infomercials are coming.
Exactly. I'm going to teach you how to make a clockwork train for all of the happy children in your village. I mean, it's weird sounding, man. The guy freaks me out a little bit.
A little soothing. Soothing voice.
And even though I am a lapsed Catholic, the Pope still kind of frightens me. That's the thing, is I haven't been an active Catholic for some time now. We on the program, all of us here on the Rick Emerson Show, are lapsed Catholics, but the Pope, he still has the ability to scare me just a little bit. I don't know what it is, man.
Thanks to we on the show, you're including me, I take it.
I'm just saying, it's a little unnerving. Speaking of unnerving, by the way, now, I had not heard about this until Sarah was talking to Laura Caviezel at CNN. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I think it's probably a regional story, then. But tell me, what happened to this boot camp killing? I don't think I've heard about this.
Yeah, this was the one that's shut down all the boot camps that they had in Florida. Now Georgia still has them, and so I think South Carolina has them. You know, they're pretty big on discipline. But there's a 14-year-old kid. He was You know, he died here. He was found out in the exercise yard, but apparently he was held down, and they've charged eight now former employees of the sheriff's department in the Pensacola area. So they've been charged with manslaughter.
Oh, so this is not a military boot camp. This is one of those boot camps where you send your kid if he's like a little weasel and won't behave.
I think this is one of the state-sponsored boot camps, but Governor Bush decided that that was going to be the end of it. He put those on hiatus, so they are no longer.
And this, I think they tried to do those in Washington State when I was growing up, and it was like, I don't know, if your kid's like a little bastard and steals cars and huffs paint thinner and so forth, you like pack him off to this place and they whip him with sticks or something for a while.
Well,
but
there's military school and then there's boot camp, so you know it would be a you know a bigger degree, where you know the boot camp would really be. Be pretty brutal.
Yeah, it's just a bad, scene. And that, so you had that. I mean, there really is a whole lot of crazy sweep in the whole country right here. But the epicenter does seem to be in the South. You have that, and then you have this. This what is it? This woman, she was 88, 89. How old did we figure out that she was?
She's 88. They thought she was 92 years old, but she's 88. But I mean, not a big difference there, because you think that, you know, she was in that house, and now there's an informant that the police had. Now he says he was told a lie. And, you know, we're going to see where this goes. So now the Atlanta police chief has called in the FBI to lead this multi-agency investigation, and they're going to try to figure out where this thing goes from here. But now there's question about whether or not that house was actually a house where drugs had been sold. And, you know, the neighbor said, you know, she was really afraid of the neighborhood, and that's why she packed heat.
And then do you remember how we had a couple weeks ago when you were going down to the NASCAR, you were down to cover NASCAR, we had our kind of our auto correspondent Dennis Pitzenbrogger on here to give you sort of the Cliffs notes for that.
That went well, by the way.
We did it. Now, see, I was going to ask you that. Were you able to execute that knowledge? Did you sound that you knew what you were speaking of?
I did, as a matter of fact. And you know what was great about it is that I got really hooked on it. It's amazing, because when you're there, TV does not do those races justice. You got to be there for the sounds, and it's a blur. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's just really exciting. I loved it.
There are things like that that don't really carry the same punch on the television. I was never much of a car race guy. In the town where I grew up, the one thing that they have every year, they have hydroplane racing, which is these sort of really insanely fast speed boats.
Yeah, I've seen that. I used to see that down in Florida, as a matter of fact.
Hydroplane racing is pretty great, man. It's a thing that doesn't really pack any appeal if you've only seen it on television. But if you are there and you're, whatever, 100 yards away when those things go by and you hear that, it's like with the cars, where you hear them making the turn, and then they come down the straightaway, and you hear that engine kick up.
Yep.
And everybody who is a fan of racing, you know that sensation, where, as they turn, and they come towards you, and they get down to barrel down the straightaway, and they kick the engine into a higher gear, and you just hear that low, rumbling roar that just shakes the ground. I mean, it really is, there's really nothing like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just amazing. Well, I'll tell you what, this is really, I actually got into the garage area before the race. I had a pass to get in there. So, you know, I'm standing over there, and I'm watching him, you know, work on Jimmy Johnson's car. You know, and I'm about 5 feet away, and I'm thinking, this is really cool. I'm loving this. So I see this guy, and I beg indifference. I didn't know who he was, but he was with Johnson's crew. So I said, asked him if he'd do an interview, and he came over, and it turns out it was Earl Barbin. He's like the chief spotter for the crew, you know. And they had one of those dissected TV deals where they had it on the Speed Channel. Now I'm watching the Speed Channel. This is how much I got hooked up.
You've been converted. Well, see, and the amount of sports knowledge, and this is why we talk about things like this with you, because you kind of know what you're talking about on these things. And I got my – I know that when Sarah called to book you with Laura this morning, Laura's like, well, do you want to talk about the Mark McGuire, Jose Canseco? And Sarah actually wrote it down and then sort of handed it to me and shrugged. And then I looked at it and went, I don't know. So apparently there's – this is now the portion of the program when you will talk about this McGuire-Canseco story, and I will nod and go, mm-hmm, a lot knowingly, as though I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's going to be a deal where you've got Canseco and McGuire. They're actually eligible for the Hall of Fame, the baseball's Hall of Fame, but it looks as though that's not going to happen, especially with all the steroid controversy, and Canseco, you know, tried to throw McGuire under the bus. He said that... you know, he did steroids with him on the Oakland A's when they played together. So, You know, that may be a little too soon for those guys to be enshrined in the Hall of Fame. So that'll
happen. That's it. If it doesn't involve, Black Sabbath, it's not a Hall of Fame that I know anything about, my friend.
So. Yeah, but I'm getting better on the auto racing, well, so I'll tell you that.
Eventually, we will know it all. That's what I'm saying. Together, we will have all knowledge in the known universe at McCarthy.
I couldn't believe how scared I was going down there to cover that. It turned out great. I was actually talking the lingo on the reports.
I got to tell you, just go into that part of the country. Go into Florida under the best of circumstances. That's you've taken your life in your head. Did you see that senator today? He called Miami a third world country. It's on CNN.com somewhere. I forget. There's some senator this morning. He said, well, he was being interviewed about, I don't know, whatever the state of the American culture or whatever. And he said, well, you've got Miami, which is no offense, basically a third world country. And it's the no offense that really sells the comedy in that line. All right.
People are nice down there, but you got to be careful.
They're all packing guns. They're all hoodlums, all of them. All right. Ed McCarthy, enjoy your afternoon, my friend.
All right, Rick. Take care.
CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy in the South. Fantastic. All right.
That was adorable to see you try and talk sports.
No, I just sort of rolled with him. Like, I don't know. Just say something about Mark McGwire, because I know that the male demographic between the ages of 18 and 54 cares about that. All right. Let me just read this spinning story really quickly, because Scotty pointed out that I did read this on Thanksgiving, but there was really nobody listening. So I might as well read this now, and then we'll talk about your observations.
I thought
you
read
Amish.
It at the end of a show one day.
It was the day that you were getting ready to leave. It was on Tuesday, and I read the first paragraph, because you were like, I can't travel without knowing what the big story is. Because I said it was the weirdest story that I'd ever read in the Inquirer.
It is a weird story.
And you were just like, I gotta hear it before I go. All right, so I'm just gonna, I will read this Rachel Ray story from the Inquirer, which is a world exclusive, by the way, from the Inquirer, and then we'll talk about the Amish. Then we got.
And Katie Holmes is pregnant again?
Probably. And then we got to. That's what happens when you walk too close to the volcano. And then
you love the story about Lindsay Lohan. I know you should read that one.
I got the overdose story as well. I got that. I got lots of Inquirer stuff. Oh, and OJ apparently has been marked for death by his accomplice. And then the Steve Irwin death video is coming out. So it's all coming up here on the show as we wallow in the lowest common denominator, pandering relentlessly to the basest instincts of human nature. And then we'll talk about the pyramid. Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to be here. Tim Riley will be back.
I forget to give my anecdotes about the Amish.
That's what I'm
saying.
I've
been toting around this gross napkin with all my writing on it.
We'll do this. And I'm sorry. You just reminded me of something. It reminded me of a joke. We were talking about at the end of the Britney watch, there's that sound, and I was speculating that that's the sound that makes from Britney Spears. That's the sound that comes out of her
belly button.
Belly button. And by belly button, we mean belly button. And a guy said that to get that sound, you pull the string. Bada bum. String. Ha! You know.
I don't get it.
Okay. From the Inquirer. Oh, do you have the. We have the gossipy bed for this?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the gossip bed. This is from. Thank you. From the Inquirer. I'd like to thank Court and Fatboy for not taking any sort of action against me over this music bed, which is really the closest thing I could possibly get to dirty laundry without actually flat-out stealing the dirty laundry bed. Rachel Ray's secret pain. Husband caught cheating. His kinky five-year affair with this woman. Now, look at this woman. Look at this woman here.
Is she cross-eyed?
It's like Lurch from the Addams Family, but with a sort of like...
Well, she looks like she could be kind of cute if she looked different.
She wasn't so butch and scary looking.
Yeah.
Rachel Ray, and Rachel Ray is sort of the new Katie Brown, right? She's like a relentlessly perky, homemaking recipe cookie type, right? Isn't that her thing? What does Rachel Ray do?
Mm-hmm, she's a cook.
She's like a Martha Stewart.
Okay. Yeah, she's very likable.
She's really perky. Rachel Ray's husband has been cheating on her, the Inquirer has learned, in a world-exclusive interview with the other so-called woman. The husband of the popular chef and TV talk show host has been having an affair since the start of his marriage, says Janine Walls, 30, of Boynton Beach, Florida. In one of the most bizarre... I swear to God, I'm reading this right out of the paper here. In one of the most bizarre celebrity cheating scandals ever, Janine says that Rachel's husband pays her to... spit on him. And commit other degrading acts on him that are too graphic to be described here. She says the twisted affair started more than 5 years ago, and it continued even after he married the Emmy-winning TV cooking queen. Janine tells the Inquirer their secret trysts never involved what most people considered normal sex. According to Walls, her husband, the guy, what's his name? Ray? Ted? John. John Cusimano, a 39-year-old lawyer and musician, paid her to spit in his face and rub it in with her bare feet. What's more, Walsh said the two used drugs together. John told me his spitting fetish dated back to high school, Walsh told the Inquirer. He said he was crazy about a girl, but when he approached her, she spit in his face. Ever since then, he gets excited about women spitting all over him. I've seen him leaving hotels covered in spit. This is so wrong. Not even wiping it off. Getting right into a taxi and going home.
On the back, is that a picture of them together?
Yeah. Ugh. The strange relationship began when Cusimano met Janine and some of her friends outside of a popular lesbian bar. That explains the look here. John said, I want you to do me an odd favor, says Janine. I'll pay you $20 to spit in my face. At first, I thought he was joking. My girlfriends and I didn't want to do it, but eventually four of us did and he paid us. He even took pictures of us all gathered around him, spitting on him. I gave John my email address and he started emailing me. It became a regular thing to call him up anytime I needed money. She says I'd go to John's apartment sometimes with friends. He'd lie down on the floor and we'd rub our bare feet on his face and then stand over him and drool.
Oh my God.
Sexy. He'd pay me $20 every time I spit on his face. I always kept my clothes on, although often he was nude. For the 3 years I lived in New York, here's a phrase you don't hear every day, kids. For the 3 years I lived in New York, I virtually supported myself by spitting all over his face. We never even kissed. That's just cold.
You know, I know somebody who moved to New York who...
spits on a guy?
No, panders a foot fetishist.
Really?
Like, guys touch your feet, and they made
a ton of
money. Seriously, so much ridiculous money.
I would do that right now.
Yeah, and get to make a lot of money living in New York, just have creepy men touch your feet. That's
seriously?
It.
Did they...
No, they weren't
touching
naked.
Your feet with the hands only?
With the hands.
It wasn't private touching of the feet.
No, nothing.
It wasn't swimsuit touching.
No swimsuit touching.
Bad touch. Once I asked him what he'd do if they ever found pictures he took of me and my friend spitting all over him, he said I threw those away. Despite his perverted taste, she said, I like the guy. He's not creepy at all. No, of course. What could possibly be considered? So your friend, she is a female friend?
Yeah.
And so
she's... Actually a lesbian.
She moved... Whatever. At different strokes, I guess. So how did she find a guy who had a foot fetish?
Answered an ad on Craigslist or in a paper.
And it was a whole lot of let me touch your feet.
It was for some business that pandered to men with foot fetishes.
My question is that prostitution, from a police point of view? If some guy is paying you, I don't know, $150, and he just wants to come over, sit there, and just lick your feet or something, or play with your feet or whatever. Was it just touching the feet?
It was just touching the feet.
With
I think
hands.
It was just the hands.
Wasn't toe sucking or anything.
I think there might have been some toe sucking.
Yeah, but even that's not a sexual activity.
Yeah.
Not really, not by societal standards. You got to wonder if that's legal.
I don't know the number figure, but she said she made a ridiculous amount of money and didn't have to get another job in New York.
Well, yeah, because this is the thing. Because it's not so much the actual touching of the feet that the guy's paying for. It's touching of the feet with a woman he doesn't have to explain it to. I think that's the whole thing, right? That's the whole thing. If you're that guy, it's like the spitting guy. Like, how do you say? So, I don't know. We can go to a movie and I don't know. Maybe carriage ride around the park. Spit all over my face.
Just like in Sex and the City when she's dating the guy.
I'm gonna bleep that. I'm going to bleep that.
It's something that happened.
No. So were lots of things.
Okay.
So were lots of things. So is this horrible thing that Aaron said last week about Leela from Futurama that I had to bleep.
Oh, really?
I'm sure that happens, too, in Aaron's head. You don't want to know. I'll tell you during the break.
Okay.
Aaron made this horrible comment about Leela from Futurama only having one eye. And you don't even want to know.
I don't.
You don't even want to know from one eye and the whole thing. Anyway, I'm just saying, I'm telling you right now, we're always talking about radio, you're always saying you need more money. Look, if a guy came to you and said, look, let's say he didn't even know who you were. Didn't know you
were. If it was anonymous.
Didn't know you were Sarah Dillon. You're just some guy. And he's like, look, I'll give you $150. I would just like to slowly fondle and caress your big toe. And then maybe a little.
For how long?
A little licking of that toe.
10, 15 minutes?
No, 45 minutes.
45 minutes?
$100.
For $100? That
100.
Doesn't seem very accurate. I do have $100?
That's more than $100 an
no,
hour.
That's person-on-person contact.
What if it's hands only? He just wishes to... What if it's this? Let me ask you this. I really am curious about all of these things. As you know, and I know you have long accused me of having a foot fetish.
You totally do.
I do not.
Okay.
I do, and I would tell you if I did.
You would not.
I would totally. If
we
I
never
had
a, talk about sex lives.
I'm saying if I had. But okay, but this is different. I'm saying if I had a foot fetish, I would talk about it. I would tell you if
okay.
I had. And I, so I do not. But it does fascinate me, though. Not that I'm not fascinated by other fetishes as well, but for the foot fetish is sort of the, it's the free bird. It's the Citizen Kane of foot fetishes. It's the one everybody is familiar with. And so that's why, that's the one I bring it up, because that's the one everybody sort of knows about. It's the one everybody at least has a reasonable understanding of, because you've seen it on Sex and the City, or you read about it in the, you know, whatever, in the Inquirer, it's on the, you know, it's like in some Tarantino film. I'm saying, what if a guy just wanted to give you, like, see, and now everybody who thinks I do have a foot fetish, they're reading into this whole conversation that I'm somehow between the lines having some weird kind of phone sex with you here in the studio.
Okay.
Which I'm not. I'm just saying, what if a guy wanted to give you like a foot massage?
Oh, totally, for $100?
It's like, I'll give you $100. You can let me massage your feet.
I've paid to have my feet massaged by a man, so yes.
You have?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Who did you pay to have massage?
Well,
like,
I didn't
like
pay, but somebody got me a gift certificate. Yeah,
it wasn't just like,
I actually didn't like it very much, so I don't want to say where I went. They were pretty rude. But anyway, yeah, so I got it. Yeah, so I got my feet massaged.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There ought to be... Okay, here's the thing. Here's what they ought to do. Okay, I could... This is going to be my new career after I get out of the... You know, at the radio, inevitably, after they fire us again. Here's what I'm going to do. This is a great idea. Oh, I am... I don't have the this joke copyright, but I'm totally copywriting this idea. And then we'll talk about the Amish here in like 5 seconds.
This joke copyright 2006, Rick Emerson Show.
Well, we're already running behind again.
Yeah, it's the story of our lives. What are you going to do? Here's the thing. Okay, so here's what they ought to have. They ought to have some kind of... here's a phrase you don't hear every day. They ought to have some kind of glory hole for feet. And the deal is, if you're a guy with a foot fetish... You don't want to get now. You got a foot fetish. You don't want to, you know, you're a man of cloth, let's say, theoretically. Rachel Ray's husband. You don't want it to get out. And you're a woman. You want to make a little money. Blah, blah, blah. You don't want to, you know, but you want to be anonymous, as you say. You go to the place. Guy sits on one side. Woman sits on the other side. Little opening down below.
She sticks her feet through, like, the hole?
She sits the feet. She sticks the feet through the hole. Yeah, the hole is... You know?
You could have, like, a whole row of feet to choose from. Then you can put, like, flip your money in through.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then you put, you know, you look at the feet through the hole or in a lineup or whatever, just like a brothel.
I'm pushing, like, two holes and you stick your feet through.
Yeah. And then, or maybe one big opening, like a cafeteria tray-shaped hole. You put your feet, you know, guy gives the money. You put your feet through. Guy has access to your feet for 45 minutes. Then you withdraw the feet. At the end, you've got $100. That guy's had some feet.
But there's, like, some security and...
Well, yeah, no, it wouldn't be, like, in my basement. I'm saying you do this in, like, a place. You know, like a place where such things are done.
Like, we have to schedule appointments and whatnot?
Well, no. Well, yeah,
we can make it a classy place.
It would be... That's what I'm saying. It would be not unlike any number of personal service-oriented businesses. You go to a place for a massage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Facial, scalp rub, a shave, a shower. You're not a shower, but you know what I mean? A shower and shave. But, you know, I mean, there's any number of places you go that are legitimate, licensed, regulated businesses where you obtain any number of personal services. This would be like a place where you go, and I don't mean a massage parlor, but I mean like a place where you go to get a massage. This would be like that, only it's not a guy rubbing your shoulders, it's a guy rubbing your feet. And you're the one getting paid, not him.
That would be awesome.
That's a great idea. Everybody's anonymous, nobody knows. Genius. All right, you sons of bitches, that's my idea. That's mine, and we call it... Wait, no, we call it footlong. No. The footeria.
Rub the right way.
No.
Oh.
The footeria. I like that.
That is an awful name. That's the worst name you could ever come up with.
Footsies. No, that makes it sound like a singles bar, like one of those scamps, scandals, scallywags places. Okay, but admit that that's a great idea. Okay, I am calling dibs on that idea right now. All right, fantastic. It's the Rick Emerson Radio. Other people are calling about it. These are potential customers, I bet. I bet these are people calling right now, offering to spend their money at such a place. We come back. We'll find out what these people have to say about footeria.
That's not it.
Genius is what it is. All right. You know, in Manhattan, I could buy a loft with the money from such a place. We come back. Tim Riley and Sarah lives among the Amish. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
kind of wind it is blowing, but I can weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm. I cannot remember a worse December. Just watch those icicles fall. What do I care if icicles fall? I've got my love to keep me warm.
It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970.
Off with my overcoat, off with my gloves. Who needs an overcoat? I'm burning with love.
503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick Emerson. What the hell is it? It's Rick at rickemerson.com. That's what it is.
And Dean was a big homebody. You know, they wanted to make a biopic about him, and there was nothing excitement. He just went home every day and shut the door, minded his own business.
I strongly identify with Dean Martin. There's actually a great moment. I won't ruin it for you, but there's a great moment in this Rat Pack movie, though, when he's sitting there at the piano just sort of staring off into space, and Jeannie Martin, his wife, is like, you know, you know, we never talk. You never share your deep feelings with me. And he just goes, Jeannie, in order to share deep feelings, you have to have deep feelings. Come get me for dinner. And then just goes back to playing piano and drinking. This is fantastic. Best life ever. I mean, I know that everybody loves Sinatra, and I do, but I mean, the Dean, I got his biography by Nick Tosh, if you want to read. It's really good. I love this song. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth. Make way for that Hepcat, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The Pope's red shoes.
Yeah.
That is our top story today.
The red shoes.
Now, the Pope wears red shoes.
Is that like, there's something there.
And we're trying to figure out why. So I went to CatholicAnswers.com.
who even knew?
Tim was awesome.
So I have a couple of things here about this. It says the red signifies royalty and kingship. Roman emperors wore red shoes. In the Byzantine Empire, it was part of the imperial insignia. Rulers deemed inferior to the Eastern Emperor were not admitted in Byzantine territory if they didn't swap red shoes or something else.
So he's either dressing like Judy Garland, a Nazi, or a bygone Roman emperor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's see here. The shoes that the Pope wears now are supplied by Gamarelli and are made of red leather. They had been worn by popes since the times of the Roman Empire, but I guess the last pope didn't wear them.
No, I never saw John Paul in anything that's spiffy.
Nope. Let's see here. And
John Paul just kind of wore the funny hat and the big golden-crested cloak.
He didn't know what people put on his feet.
I can't see my feet.
All right. So we found some more audio of the new Pope, and it's the first time we heard him today. He's in Turkey visiting with the Turks, and he talked about the global slide into secularism.
This human and spiritual unity in our origins and our destiny impels us to seek a common path as we play our part in the quest for fundamental values so characteristic of the people of our time.
Come with me, let us ice skate and jump the hilly brush.
He also highlighted the importance of religious freedom.
Try and catch me, Wendy.
It's a necessary condition for the loyal contribution to the building up of society in an attitude of authentic service, especially towards the most vulnerable and the most poor.
Bring me a Filipino boy and make him Nubia. That was me as the Pope, by the way. That wasn't me as me.
He is shaking hands with an older fellow in this picture. No. Probably older than his own personal pleasures.
I'm sorry?
I'm not.
You're speculating.
Yes.
And when you say pleasures, you mean that the Pope is gay, by which we mean jolly.
Yes. In the most Catholic of ways.
In the most Catholic of ways. In as much as a former member of the Hitler Youth can be Catholic. We think he's a former member. And he is gay, by which we mean jolly. The Pope. Benedict. Good times. He kind of looks like Brian Dennehy. If you look at him, he kind of squint a little bit. He sort of looks like Brian Dennehy. Just a little bit. Like if Brian Dennehy had coal-rimmed eyes.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Santa Claus sash he's wearing in that photo.
So, you know, he's
sort of like for the holidays.
Maybe he's kind of like an angry Father Christmas, you know what I mean? Like a, like that Futurama Father Christmas where he just comes with a gun and kills everyone.
All right. Fantastic. Fabulous.
Well, another beauty journey is over this season for America's Next Top Model. Last episode, 18-year-old twin Michelle was eliminated for not showing enough passion about modeling. Passion, you need to have passion.
It sucked leaving because I was going to miss all the girls and stuff, but I was glad she was still there to represent, you know, the twins. So I was.
What do you mean the twins?
Yesterday.
Apparently there were twins involved here. She's a twin.
I bet
herself.
There were.
Yeah. They said the judges had a good reason for eliminating her. She didn't think so.
I don't think I lacked passion. I guess I didn't have the same amount of passion as the other girls, but that's because it was their lifelong dream, and for me, it was just something I wanted to do, something that found interesting.
She sounds really smart.
And so, basically, I was honest with them about my feelings, and they didn't like it very much.
What, is it too hard to swallow the saliva before you talk, honey? Empty out your mouth before you speak. Jesus.
Michelle says people don't realize just how difficult modeling can be.
Most people think it's really easy, and that you stand there, and they take pictures of you, but you actually have to hold awkward poses for, like, 10 minutes, and it's not as easy as it looks. There's a lot of times where girls actually, like, end up fainting because they get so tired.
They end up fainting? I don't even understand what the hell she's talking about. Sarah, you watched America's Next Top Model, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who is this?
I missed last week, though.
Who is this? What's her name?
I think Amanda got sent home.
Is this Amanda?
Yeah. I don't think
I lacked passion.
I guess I didn't have the same amount of passion as the other girls, but...
I do have a mush mouth speech impediment, though.
For me,
you need passion.
Something I wanted Michelle. To do, something that sound interesting. And so, basically, I was honest with them about my feelings, and they didn't like it very much.
She's gay. By gay, we mean she sells aluminum siding.
She's honest with their feelings.
Are they twin lesbian sisters?
They were, no, the other one isn't a lesbian.
Why do you have to tease me that way, Tim Riley?
She was much less... You would not have liked...
No.
She's just a stick.
She a visually unpleasant lesbian.
Yeah, they both have really long red hair. They photograph.
Oh, is she a rail?
Yeah, they photograph really beautifully, but they must be 80 pounds apiece.
No,
they're very thin.
It's totally. Have you put them on the same scale? Have you seen that? That article that's going around? We haven't read it here because it's a visual piece, and so there's no point. But have you seen that article? I think it was in Britain about. There was, they caused, can I ask that whole thing in Madrid about 4 or 5 weeks ago where they started banning models that were like, that were unhealthily thin. There's sort of a follow-up story to that, where they, about this banning models who are underweight. There's a great story that came out in Britain where they had this bathing suit, that was being worn by, she was like a size, I don't know, like a size 10 or something. But she was in a bathing suit, she's a hot woman, she's a totally hot model, and she's like a size 10 or 11. And anyway, she's in this bathing suit. And everybody was like, ah, she's, you know, all the fashion guys were like, ah, she's a cow and she's hideous and she's whatever. So the guy who runs the fashion show got a model who weighs like 100 pounds, you know, or like 95 pounds, put the same bathing suit on her and she came out and she just is like the worst looking thing you've ever seen in your life. It really is just, as we've said, it's just like a bag of antlers, man. It's all kinds of terrible. The pictures, it was on Drudge, where it was like a side by side of like the normal model and then like the stick model. And, yeah, it'd be like having sex with a birdhouse or something. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, there's more on the Pamela Anderson Kid Rock breakup on New York Post page 6.
Fantastic.
The split can be blamed on Kid Rock's, quote, male insecurity and major anger issues, unquote. Apparently, the last straw was Anderson's role in the hit mockumentary Borat, in which the fictional title character falls in love with Anderson after seeing her at a Baywatch rerun and makes it his mission to propose to her.
Have you seen Borat yet?
No.
Oh, come on. You got to see it.
Because mm-hmm.
Eventually it's all you're holding out, but eventually you're going to know everything that happens just from people talking about it. So
I'm not holding out. I just right. haven't had time.
And I'm saying,
I've been in Wisconsin.
And I'm really not giving anything away because in the first like 10 seconds of the film or whatever, he's like, I am in love with Pamela Anderson and I must find her, whatever his accent is. And so he travels across the country to find Pam Anderson. But the resolution, which I will not give away, but the resolution of the Pam Anderson storyline is just, it's fantastic. It really, really, really is great. And as much as I love Kid Rock, and I really do, it's just retarded that he would be offended by it because it's hilarious. I mean, the guy's just obviously not all that bright. But it's fantastic. I mean, it's not only one of the best films of the year, but she really does a good job in that film. So there you go.
Then there's Hilary Duff and her rocker boyfriend, Joe Madden. They, too, have apparently split.
Is Joe Madden like Joe Mentum?
Apparently so. This happened during a Chicago DJ appearance by the 27-year-old Madden last week. He told various club-goers that he and 19-year-old Duff had broken up after 2.5 years together. A rep for DEF has refused to comment on the rumor earlier this month that an alleged stalker of DEF's was arrested after apparently telling a private investigator he planned to kill her at an event she expected to attend.
Oh, wait, her boyfriend was planning to kill her?
No, this was a stalker.
Oh, okay, all right.
No.
I'm saying, just say, just dump her. All right.
According to court papers filed by the singer, apparently this stalker came to the U.S. for the sole purpose of meeting and becoming romantically involved with Miss Duff.
Oh, so this really is like a real-life Borat kind of a thing,
yes.
Except it's the not the marrying, it's the killing and the cutting off and the carving up and the eating of the flesh.
That's correct.
All right. Let me get just a couple of these here. Nick, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, are you set with your name for your foot parlor?
Footopia? Or Footeria.
Do better with Happy Feet.
Happy Feet. And then, and then you could do a line of wacky children's toys as a tie-in there. Happy Feet. See, because when your feet are happy, you're happy. And then the so forth.
How about Tootsies?
Tootsies! Sarah could be Tootsie. It'd be like being
be
a madam. It's like being a madam.
Oh, that would
be
awesome.
I know you. You would love to be a madam.
I totally would.
You would totally love to be the woman who runs a whorehouse or a brothel or whatever it is you call it now.
It's not a whorehouse.
No, you'd be really good at that, too. And I don't mean that in a bad, no offense, but you know what I'm saying, that you would be really good at that. And it would totally, thank you, Nick. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I love the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Who doesn't? You would, the movie you're talking about, the Burt Reynolds, the Dolly Parton
yep.
version? Not the Gary Sandy from WKRP in Cincinnati?
Dolly Parton is my hero.
Anyway, we'll talk about it later. Hold on. Sarah Dillon runs Whorehouse. I'm making a note to myself. I got lots of observations about that. Here's Tim Riley.
I think we have to run that through legal first.
Yeah, it's a conflict of interest. You'll have to fill out the COI paperwork first. Laura Klein.
We could really do this.
I would like to be running a whorehouse. Does Les Moonves have a problem with this? What?
We could really do this.
Sure, we could. Yes, we could. We could all be felons by running a whorehouse.
Not a whorehouse, Tootsies.
Oh, yeah, no, the foot place. Oh, yeah, we could do that, too. I would have no problem running that. They're running a whorehouse. Or Tootsies.
You'd have a problem running a whorehouse. You'd be divorced.
That'd be a problem. that might be a problem for her. Bam!
Yeah, she's out of town. That's why you're talking.
I know. I'm talking all big because she's in Provo. No, what are you going to do? No, Tootsies, it's a great idea. And like I said, you would be the public face of Tootsies. And you'd be like Sidney Barrows. You could wear the, you dress like, have the upscale like, business wear.
I already do have that picture from Baby Girl Boutique.
That could be the, there you go. They do the photography. Fantastic. Yeah, that's a great idea. Excellent.
Ooh.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Some more stuff for the kids. It looks like Lindsay Owens' ex has moved on. Harry Martin is dating an aspiring actress named Jennifer George, according to In Touch Weekly. Martin had promised to Lowen he went a few months before starting to date again, but friends said he was tired of being single. Meanwhile, Tracy Morgan, a former SNL regular who co-stars in NBC's 30 Rock, was arrested today in Upper Manhattan on drink driving charges.
Who is this?
Tracy Morgan.
He's a comic, right?
Oh, is this a fellow?
Is Tracy Morgan a comic? Isn't he a comedian?
Oh, it's a he, yes.
All right, yeah.
From Saturday Night Live.
Apparently, he smelled of alcohol and later failed a breathalyzer test in Manhattan. When arrested, he told police he'd been to a club and had some beers.
Last thing I saw him in was totally awesome, that VH1.
Oh, yeah, Tim was all about that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was very funny in it.
I have not seen Totally Awesome yet.
Oh, I think they took it off. They're running it like every 5 minutes.
By the way, we have this about Coin. Rick, be proud of how on the spot all the people at Coin News 6 are. I was driving home from a friend's house in Fern Prairie north of Camas tonight. This is last night. There wasn't even snow on the roads, and I got stuck behind the Coin mobile command unit with Deathbringer missiles mounted on the side going 10 miles an hour because they had the snow chains on. Yes, there was quite a Jimmy Jam while me and about half a dozen other cars got stuck behind General Hawk's command tank. A-holes. There you go. That's from Malcolm.
There you go. So Coin News 6, they're on the case.
Fantastic. Here's Jim Riley.
That's good. Let's do a clergy watch.
Fantastic.
I gotta have faith.
This comes here from New Orleans. A Catholic priest got in trouble with the law this holiday weekend, past holiday weekend, after alleged drinking rampage. Authorities said the Reverend Joseph Tutran fired a rifle into the air, threatened the store clerk, and kicked the deputy in the groin.
He kicks ass for the Lord.
Apparently, he was highly intoxicated when he went into a convenience store carrying a 12-gauge shotgun. He was accused of threatening a store clerk with a rifle. Nobody was hurt. A deputy was near the store when the shot was fired, and a second clerk called police. A diocese official say they suspected Tutran was having problems with alcohol, and they intend to get him treatment.
Blessed is the muzzle loader. Fantastic. Well done. And this is in, this is in Florida, you said?
New Orleans.
Oh, damn it. Yeah. All right, you sure it wasn't Florida?
I'm positive, yes. I promise the Florida story later, though.
All right, here's two.
Oh, that's just
true. Oh, are we down? Oh, we just have the clergy. There you go. There's the clergy one. Hell.
Because I gotta have faith. I gotta have faith. I gotta have faith.
Fantastic. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry.
Well, those filthy hippies are going to have to find someplace else to go after 112 years of business in downtown. Schumacher Firms announced it's pulling out. What just happened?
I'm sorry.
Oh.
I looked over. I didn't realize I had that on the screen.
Okay.
Oh my.
And then there's a picture of Britney Spears taking a wine glass into her Porsche with her and drinking while driving.
Really? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
No.
You have to put that on your website. Okay, but what is...
That's her walking to her Porsche.
Oh. With a glass of wine?
A glass of wine.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but what is... And what is that picture? What's wrong with her mouth?
It's awesome.
Maybe she's putting her plate in.
She's about to eat a gopher. She looks like the queen alien there from the second Aliens, like a Giger creature there. Like, look, if you look at Britney Spears right there in her mouth, here's the sound. She's... That's
the sound
that
her belly button makes?
Yes. Yes. When you pull the string that's inside.
Oh, my.
She's making like a ring wraith face there. Sort of, you know, sire, pagans. Best show ever. I'm sorry, that picture of Britney Spears has shocked us all into silence.
Oh, that's right. We are live here and we're expected to continue to chat.
Let's do a radio program. Here's Tim Riley.
So anyway, that first story is moving out of town so they can throw the filthy hippies off of private property when they move.
Goddamn hippies.
So that's that.
This email says, Rick, a couple of foot facts from the house masseur. To prove myself if necessary, I'm sponsored in research with Nike in the biology of the foot and have an extensive knowledge of giving a good foot massage. First, though, 85% of all your body's nerve endings are in the bottom of your feet. In Asia, it is considered more arousing to give a foot rub than a kiss. I can tell you that once a woman knows you're a trained masseur and give a great foot rub, going further is easy. And then he puts a little winky emoticon in case we don't understand the implication. Okay, I have to sort of filter this as I read it. He says, and this is a guy, he says he works with Nike on the biology of the foot. He says, relax the feet, and you've relaxed the body. He said, I have had female clients... How shall I put this?
Oh.
I have had female clients...
Expressing enjoyment
and achieving total relaxation, let's say, from a good foot rub.
No.
I'm just reading the goddamn email.
Okay.
He says, I've been paid up to $500 just to give a foot rub and $1,000 for the full body massage. He said, I've been told I give the best foot rubs in Portland. Okay, this I call BS at this point.
He says, BS too.
He says, I've been told I give the best foot rubs in Portland, New York, L.A., and San Francisco, as though he polled the entire city.
Well, if he does work for Nike, that's a pretty big
company.
It's
true. He said he's been paid $500 to give a foot. Well, clearly he needs to be on staff with us at Tootsie's House of Foot Pleasure. pleasure by the foot!
Oh, that's good.
Bam! Tootsie's Pleasure by the Foot in your face.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Listen to this. Okay, but here's an even better one. Rick, if you want a swank place where people can hang out, drink, and do that foot thing, envision this in blinking lights on the marquee. Club Foot. Hope you like it. Sorry I don't have enough time, he says, to make some joke about the Pope's shoes and his eternal souls and soul. There's something in there somewhere. Keep up the good work. Club Foot.
That's brilliant.
Best show ever.
All right, here's Tim. Let's do one more and then we'll break. Clubfoot.
Well, former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich said the country will be forced to re-examine freedom of speech to meet the threat of terrorism. Speaking at an awards banquet, he said a different set of rules may be needed to reduce terrorists' ability to use the internet and free speech to recruit and get out their message.
Mr. Creedy!
We need to get ahead of the curve before we actually lose a city, which I think could happen in the next decade.
Oh, if we're going to lose a city, I hope we can pick which one. What city should we lose? Anyone?
Anything in Texas would be fine with me.
Texas?
Houston?
I'd pick anything in Iowa. Mm-hmm. I'd be happy to see most of Utah go. Idaho, I could live without as long as it's not Coeur d'Alene. What else? Anaheim? I'd be happy to see Anaheim go as well.
What about Spokane?
Spokane, yes, Spokane.
Wouldn't take much.
No, really. And then let's just, let me read this, we'll take a break. Rick, it says, pleased to be playing more old school Christmas music. Tim and I were actually, you know, you gave me that Sinatra thing, right?
Yes, Sinatra Christmas special.
So we'll do that as we get closer to the holidays. Every commercial break through the holiday needs to consist of Rat Pack era Christmas music. He says, overall, I hate the holidays, and the horrible typical Christmas music makes it even more miserable. However, hearing Dean, Frank, Nat, and the like,
as it should be,
makes it all better, especially when you mix one part blistering holiday disdain with two parts dry martini, extra olive. Well, there you go. The Rick Emerson Show does we do live to do a thing. We do live to please her. Well, let me just do this then. All right. Okay. So take this into break. That picture of Britney is just flat out disturbing. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Program. We come back. Dennis Pitsenbarger. More from Tim Riley. And we'll enlist your help in punishing a guy's brother. I swear to God, we'll do that this hour. Oh, plus, we got to tell you about this Yellow Pager thing. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio.
Wonderful time.